Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. You know, that cartoon guy, Bart Simpson, he once said, "Don't have a cow, man." But in today's stressful times, I say, do have a cow hug. Yes, on this show, we are going to explore bovine bliss with the energy healer extraordinaire, Ellie Lax. She is the founder of the very famous Gentle Barn Sanctuary, and she's here to share her latest must-get book. It's called, wait for this title, Cow Hug Therapy, How the Animals at the Gentle Barn Taught Me About Life, Death, and Everything in Between. Welcome to our show, Ellie.
Thank you so much for having me. And I agree with you. Everyone should have a cow.
Hug. Hey, let's talk about that. I know there's all kinds of therapies out there, but I was reading your book. It's called Cow Hug Therapy. And you are crediting actually a miniature cow named Buddha for sort of inspiring you for this new therapy, cow hugging. Can you explain?
Yeah. The founder of Cow Hug Therapy is my first cow, Buddha, who in 1999, she just came in, and her first open to the public Sunday where we had guests. I wasn't sure if she was going to be frightened of the people or want to be interacted with, but she inserted herself right into the crowd of people, laid down and encouraged them to pet and hug her. I knew right away that she was no ordinary cow, but I learned even more that night when I was putting the barnyard to bed, making sure everybody was healthy before I went to sleep. And I walked by Buddha, who was laying down peacefully in the corner of the yard, just kind of to pat her head and say goodnight. And the way that she looked up at me and gestured for me to sit down next to her and spend a minute. So I stopped, I sat down next to her, I leaned my back against her shoulder, and what she did next changed the course of my life and our work here at the Gentle Barn.
Well, that's kind of, I'm ready for you to say it. Let the cow out of the barn.
She wrapped her neck around me and held me. And, you know, listen, over the course of my life, because I started training dogs professionally at the age of 11, I started rescuing animals as a young adult. I founded the Gentle Barn in 1999. I was rescuing dogs and cats from high kill shelters since the time I was in my mid-20s. I have been around a lot of animals, and yes, they are all amazing, and they all have things to lend us, to give to us, and to teach us. And I've been able to hold cats while they purr, or cuddle dogs while I can give them a belly rub, even walking beside horses. But having an animal wrap themselves around me, it wasn't just them allowing me to love them. It was them loving me back, healing me back, reaching out to me in a way that had never been done before. And I was so taken aback by this very surprising affectionate gesture that I just started crying. And I'm very stoic. So I carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. I put a brave smile on my face and I just go through what I'm going through. But in that embrace, I realized how stressed out I was. I realized all of the responsibility I'm carrying on my shoulders. And I just wept them into her side. And she held me for a good hour.
And I understand you ended up having like a bedtime cow hug ritual, right, with Buddha?
Those hugs were so transformative. It washed away the day. It just cleared my mind and it allowed me to be stronger the next morning, that I came to rely on those evening hugs. And she became, you know, for lack of a better word, she became my therapist. And it wasn't long till I realized that those hugs were keeping me together And there were other people out there that needed them too. And so I actually opened the phone book and started calling around to probation camps, inner city schools, domestic violence shelters, war veteran centers, senior centers, foster agencies, and saying, look, I've got these animals that have the same stories of trauma and loss as your clients, but they're here to heal us. You should come. And they started bringing their clients. And watching Cow Hug Therapy not only usher me through the founding of the Gentle Barn, the establishing of the Gentle Barn, healing animals, learning all that I had to learn, raising the money, meeting Jay, who is my partner and co-founder of the Gentle Barn, but it also was changing the lives of our guests. And you could see them melt from tough, defensive, cold, and hardened young adults into soft, vulnerable, and open children. And that's where healing starts.
And people, this is a big anniversary. You're celebrating your 25th year in existence. And people need to know, what is the Gentle Barn? I mean, I know you're in three locations, but you basically, it's my understanding, you take all kinds of animals. We're talking pigs, cows, horses, dogs, cats, others. And they've had some trauma in their life. And they've been abandoned, or they needed rehabilitation. And they are now serving as healers for people like many of us that have gone through some traumatic things. I mean, what a great organization, but it doesn't happen overnight. And every day is not a holiday.
That is true. That is true. But yeah, I mean, you know, animals were always there in my childhood to listen as I cried, to make me feel wanted and lovable, and to encourage me to stay at times when I didn't want to be here. And so I always had that firsthand knowing of how therapeutic animals are. And so I always, from the age of 7, wanted to have a big place full of animals.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You dreamed as a kid of the concept of the Gentle Barn, right? At age 7?
Yes, at age 7, the Gentle Barn was my dream, to be able to save animals, and then when they're ready, partner with them to heal people. And I founded it in 1999. Buddha was my very first cow. And together with her, we rescued so many other animals and then brought so many hurting humans into the Gentle Barn to find themselves in the barnyard. And so the Gentle Barn is now a 25-year-old national organization located in Los Angeles, California, Nashville, Tennessee, and St. Louis, Missouri. We are home to 200 rescued animals.
Wow.
Across the three locations. We specifically take in animals that have nowhere else to go, animals that are too old, too sick, too scared to be adoptable anywhere else. And we put them through a very rigorous rehabilitation program, including veterinarian care, but also chiropractic, acupuncture, massage therapy, music therapy, energy healing, animal communication, nutritional supplements, and lots of love. Once they're happy and healthy, if we can find a home of their own, we do. And if they need ongoing care for the rest of their lives and therefore are not adoptable, then we give them sanctuary with us. And when they're ready, we partner with them to heal people with the same stories of trauma and connect people to the love and magic of animals. We're open to the public on Sundays. We host private tours and school field trips during the week, and individuals or people at healing agencies can come into the Gentle Barn and have their very own cow hug therapy session, where they can find hope and healing with our gentle giants, our equine therapy sessions, where they can practice confidence and leadership skills with our horses, and barnyard therapy, where they can find hope with our smaller animals.
That ain't, hey, you got a lot of things. And pardon me, I got to say it because I'm a punster. You are steering people in the right direction. And we're going to talk a little bit more with Ellie Lax after we take this break. But everybody, she's magic, and she's here to help us heal, and she's got an army of cows, horses, dogs, cats that are helping us. So everybody just sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Harlan Williams, and you're listening to Arden Moore on Obehave. And I got my baby Giraffe here, and he wants to say hi.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Obehave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to our show. I'm speaking with Ellie Lack. She has many titles. I mean, she started The Gentle Barn 25 years ago. She's a best-selling author. She is an energy healer. You're an animal communicator. I mean, you have to clean out poop in stalls every day. You got to feed everybody. What's the best thing you love about who you are at this stage in life?
I love that everything I do has to do with animals. Whether I'm writing a book, it's telling the animal stories. Whether I'm giving a speech, I'm talking about animal stories.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I have to interject. A TEDx speaker, you know, that's cream of the crop. That's like, big one.
If I'm teaching other people around the country to start their own sanctuaries, I am doing it for the benefit of animals. If I'm at the Gentle Barn, I don't care if I'm cleaning up poop, grooming the animals, brushing them, hugging them, talking to them to see how they're feeling, or doing energy healing, or interacting with my amazing, brilliant staff in helping the animals live their very best lives. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with animals, and now I've created a life for myself where literally everything I do is about animals,
like,
and
that.
I'm so happy.
Isn't it cool to do something that you want to do? I love what I get to do. I teach pet first aid. I get to interview amazing people like you. I get to have strong typing fingers, but I feel like this is my life. This is my identity, and you have that great identity. You know, this book, it is called Cow Hug Therapy, and each chapter is sort of a spotlight on a different critter that kind of impacted your life. And, you know, you definitely talked about Buddha, who kind of helped you in create Cow Hug Therapy. It's a dumb question, but how does it work? I mean, I know Buddha hugged you, but talk about this. How big are these things? How much do cows weigh? I hope they weigh more than me.
Cows are upwards of 3,000 pounds.
Wow. That's a big hug.
Yes, it's a big hug, but that's part of the magic of cow hug therapy. Listen, like I said, every single animal and creature on this planet has something to offer us, to teach us, and to heal us.
Absolutely.
But they all give what they give in different ways. When we are holding cats, playing with dogs, walking or riding with horses, we are loving them and they're loving us, but we are in a dominant position. We are in the authoritative position. You know, it's not a bad thing. However, to find real healing begins when we are vulnerable, humble, and open. So what cow hug therapy brings to the table is we're working with 3,000 pound animals that you can't train or teach or coerce into doing what you want. It's something that they choose to do, and it's something they do of their own accord. So just the fact that a 3,000 pound animal is laying still for us to hug them is very humbling.
Can you feel their heart? I mean, talk about some of the tactile stimuli that it's going through for both the cow and the person.
So when we're sitting next to a cow, resting our faces on their sides, closing our eyes, breathing in and out, we can hear their heartbeat and slow down ours to match theirs. We are rising and falling with their breathing, which is very healing, but also we can match our breathing to theirs. So that kind of becomes a meditation. Being in their energy rids our minds of thoughts and worry. So we lose worries about the past or future. Our to-do lists go out the window, and we are immersed in present time where we are grounded
and
centered. Yes.
On page 242, see, I did read your book. You said gratitude is the antidote to negative complaints. Talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the majority of our culture lives in complaints, right? Oh my God, the microwave is taking so long to heat up my meal and the traffic. But, you know, animals, for the most part, do not live in complaint. They live in gratitude. They are grateful for their breakfast. They are grateful for our gentle hands. They are grateful for our coats that we put on at night. They are grateful for their friendships. And it's the very little things that brighten up their days. And, you know, I think we have a lot to learn about that. Instead of complaining about the traffic, we can think, oh my God, I am so lucky and wealthy that I am driving a car. Life has lost its magic for most of us, where we are no longer appreciating the fact that we're driving a car or that we're breathing
exactly.
or that we're walking in a body that works. Now we're complaining about the little things. And it's the very little things that the animals are so grateful for. So they can really remind us to go through our day in gratitude instead of complaint.
So you've got these three locations and everyone, gentlebarn.org. So I want you to make sure you check it out. It's starting to be a destination place. I think especially as we climbed out of COVID and in this political field, I'm nonpartisan, everyone, nonpartisan. I think we're looking for places like the Gentle Barn. You are getting close to a big milestone of visitors. Tell us about that.
We are approaching 1 million visitors wow. over the course of 25 years. And I can't even tell you how much that means to us. People around the world, like you said, they save money, they work for it, and then they finally get to come visit us. People are like, oh, I've always meant to be there, and now I'm finally here. Or they come for birthdays, anniversaries. They come because they've recovered from a terminal illness. There's all kinds of reasons why people promise themselves a trip to the Gentle Barn. But then when they're finally here, they can feel the same sanctuary that the animals feel. That's the goal of the Gentle Barn, for each location to feel sanctuary to every single being that is on this land.
So a person comes for a specified amount of time, and I'm assuming they want to help and volunteer time and things like that?
The volunteers have the best job. I want to retire at some point and become a volunteer, because it's the staff that feed, clean, groom the animals, but it's the volunteers that come and love the animals and make sure that each individual know how important they are. So
I like that.
Volunteering at the Gentle Barn is very rewarding, but visiting in any capacity. We're open to the public on Sundays. People can come hug the cows, cuddle the turkeys, give the pigs tummy rubs, hold the chickens, pat the goats and sheep, and hear their stories of resilience. And people can come for slower experiences during the week for, you know, the more private events.
And even though you're highly tuned in, I understand that before Buddha passed away, she gave you a three-word message, knock it off. Talk about that. Because we go through some tough things, but you had a cow guide you.
So one of the biggest things these animals have taught me is that they don't leave us, even though they step out of their bodies. When Buddha passed away, I literally thought I was going to die. And I think that this is something all animal lovers can relate to, because
exactly.
animals have shorter lifespans than we do. So to love an animal is to eventually say farewell to them. And sometimes when we have an animal that's our soulmate, living without them in the physical plane can seem impossible. And one of the things that Buddha and so many other animals in my book, Cow Hug Therapy, taught me was that, yes, they leave their bodies, but they never leave us. And Buddha has given me over the years physical signs that I know she's with me. I'm able to access her in meditation and still ask her for advice. And I can still close my eyes and feel her, even though I can't open my eyes and see her. And so the animals, including Buddha, have taught me that it's not the end of a relationship, it's the changing of a relationship from one where we open our eyes and see them to one where we close our eyes and feel them and carry them with us.
And there's different species out there, but you identified some things that are maybe some characteristics, personality traits about cows. And one of them I was surprised at, you said cows meditate.
Cows meditate every single day, whether they're old or young, male or female, whether it's in Missouri, Nashville, or California. And of course, they can only do this when they feel safe to do it. So
exactly.
I'm not saying right. cows in a slaughterhouse are necessarily meditating. They're preparing.
They're praying.
Awful. Yeah. They're praying. Animals in sanctuary when they feel safe. Cows, they lay down, they close their eyes. Chewing their cud is part of their meditation. It becomes kind of like a moving meditation.
It's like us chewing gum or something, maybe, or what?
Well, I don't necessarily equate chewing gum to meditation, but you know, there are walking meditations, or even like washing the dishes meditations, or meditations where you're staring at something.
Okay.
And there are different forms of meditation. And so cows use chewing their cud to kind of get into this rhythmic zone where they then close their eyes, or they're staring blankly ahead. And it's very, very obvious that they're meditating. Cows, when they feel safe and when they're right. with their family, they have a very concrete ritual that they do every single day. They wake up first thing in the morning, they go to eat. Then the matriarch reminds everyone to drink.
Okay. We're talking water, everybody. They're not cow belly up to the bar, right?
Okay. No margaritas involved.
No margaritas.
Okay. Then the matriarch goes around after breakfast and she grooms every single member of her family, making sure that they feel valued and loved and cherished. And she takes care of all their itches. Aww. And once that affection is over, she ushers everyone to lay down and they start meditating together. Sometimes they can be standing up, but it's very obvious when you look at them that they're meditating.
Well, two other characteristics I was surprised about cows. I haven't had a lot of opportunity to interact with cows, is that they face trouble head on. And you said in the herd, the mentality is 100% inclusivity. Talk about those two things.
I like to say that cows are everything that we should be and that we will be once we awaken to love.
Whoa, you need t-shirts. Let's say that. That's very good, Ellie. Very good. Yes.
And like you said, they are 100% inclusive. And it's really interesting because we have many different species at the Gentle Barn that we are sanctuary to. And when we bring in a new horse, donkey, pig, chicken, turkey, goat, sheep, there is a very long introduction period where they have to be separated from a fence. They have to get to know each other. Then they have to be integrated with supervision. It takes weeks and sometimes months for them to become family because the other species, their first reaction is, hey, you don't belong here. You don't belong here. Cows are the only one of our species where I can take a brand new cow today, put them into any of our pastures, and the cows will say, hi, welcome. And that's the end of their discussion. Sometimes they, you know, the matriarch will come over and say, hey, I'm the matriarch. And then the new cow will say, okay, no problem. When we bring in a new matriarch, she might go around to everyone and say, hey, just so you know, I'm the boss. And everyone's like, okay. If they're a youngster, the other youngsters might come and they might bonk hens in play or run around to kind of become a family. But it literally takes about 10 minutes. There's no violence. They don't hurt each other. We never worry or take our time to introduce a cow. We just plop them right in. They're 100% inclusive. They wow. see through the eyes and lens of love. And they see similarities instead of differences.
I want to come back as a cow. What would you want to come back as?
I don't know if I want to come back. This work is hard. Here's a fun fact.
Okay.
Did you know that all cows have cleft chins?
No.
So I have a cleft chin. So I like to say I am mostly cow in this lifetime.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Hey, one of the chapters really brought my heart singing was about Dudley. And Dudley had some ambulatory issues. Can you share a little bit about chapter 3?
Dudley was a remarkable member of our family. It started when I decided for my birthday that I wanted to rescue a cow.
That's like the number one thing on the birthday list globally, I think. Rescue a cow. I love your birthday wishes. Very good.
Literally, I mean it when I say everyone should have a cow. Like if I was queen of the world, I would make it so that everyone had to have at least two cows in their backyard and we would have world peace instantaneously because you can't hug a cow and go to war.
All right. Another gem. You can't hug a cow and go to war. Okay. I'm helping you with your t-shirt models. You know,
I know. I got to start writing these things down.
But keep going. Keep going. So tell us about Dudley.
So Dudley had lost a foot. He had a tragic accident and he had lost a foot and he was living among 50 other cows that were being raised and grown to go back to slaughter. And because he had lost a foot and was hobbling around in pain, the farmer took pity on him and kept him, but eventually realized like he couldn't do anything for him. The farmer had a friend that was reaching out to 200 sanctuaries to see if someone would take this cow and everyone said no. But she reached out to us and said, look, I know that you're really far away, but I'm trying to save this cow. I literally days before told Jay that for my birthday, I only wanted to rescue a cow. And so he was able
and
to
everybody, do a shout out to your hubby.
A huge shout out that he is married to someone that says to him, I want to rescue a cow for my birthday. And he says, okay.
And his name, first and last name, he wants to hear it.
His name is Jay Weiner. He is my husband, love of my life. He is the co-founder of the Gentle Barn, and he is also our CEO.
Jay, happy cow.
Anyway, so Jay found a bovine surgeon in the area to do his amputations. He found a prosthetist to make a prosthetic foot for Dudley.
And it wasn't a, like giant orange bowl or something. I was trying to imagine what it looked like.
You know, it's basically like a giant orange boot that has like a platform shoe so that it...
Like Elton John in his heyday. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it worked.
And it worked and it fit on him like a clamshell. So the back half, his foot would go down into it and then the front half would kind of seal it and it was held together with straps and he could run and jump and play and gallop for the first time in his life. It was so rewarding to do that for him. Dudley went on to have an incredible career at the Gentle Barn, hosting guests that were amputees themselves from children hospitals and veteran hospitals. People that they themselves were going through amputations and multiple surgeries and months in the hospital, frustration, talking about complaints, all the reasons why they can't do this and they can't do that. And now they're living in a wheelchair or using crutches or having a prosthetic limb themselves. That's really, really, really hard, especially if you're a child and you're so completely different than those you go to school with.
Right.
And Dudley made them feel normal. And Dudley allowed them to be joyous in their journey. Because one of the striking things about Dudley was that he lived completely in joy. He was a prankster. He was fun.
What's a cow prank? They always talk about college kids trying to tip over cows. Shame on you guys. But yep. Let's turn the tables. What's a cow prank?
My favorite memory from Dudley is him ripping the Halloween decorations off the wall and going running around and around and around the property with them in his mouth.
Okay, okay.
We were laughing till we cried. The other prank that Dudley would do is we would be cleaning stalls and we would have like a wheelbarrow full of poop and we were in a stall mucking it out and he would tiptoe ever so quietly so we wouldn't see him and he would dump over the wheelbarrow. He thought it was hilarious.
I kind of think it's funny too, but yeah.
Yeah, he was funny. He was really funny. But so, you know, you think of someone who lost a limb, is in a prosthetic or a wheelchair, spends months at a time in a hospital. You think of, wow, that's really hard. Dudley did not have a hard minute in his entire life. He had a smile on his face. He was having fun and he was living in joy. And he exuded that joy to every single person that came to visit him. He also did a lot of work with the foster care system. Children with the most horrendous stories in foster care would come to meet Dudley and he would embrace them and they would be able to hug him. But he also showed them how to play and how to have fun and that there's always, always hope.
I love it. I love it. We are speaking with Ellie Lax. She's extraordinary. You've just heard a few of the gems coming from her. She's going to make a lot of t-shirt slogans after the show ends today. But she has a new book. It's called Cow Hug Therapy. And it's how the animals at the Gentle Barn taught me about life, death, and everything in between. This is from New World Library. What book number is this for you that you have penned?
Well, that's the book is published on May 21st. So that's advanced copy.
How many books have you written?
That is number two. So my first book is called My Gentle Barn, Creating a Sanctuary Where Animals Heal and Children Learn to Hope. And that's more of my story and my childhood and how animals saved me and why I wanted to grow up and save them. It's about the founding animals at the Gentle Barn and those founding groups of kids that came and healed. It's our love story of how I met and fell in love with Jay and how he joined forces to expand our mission. The second book, Cow Hug Therapy, that is the animal stories and the animals' lessons that have made me the best human I can be. They've taught me everything that I know.
Well, this is a great book, everyone, because it's written with heart and it's written with joy and it's written with resilience. I think three traits that cows are teaching us, right, Ellie?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's another good word. Like animals live in resilience. They always want to live. They want to live. They want to thrive. They want to love. In the book, I talk about one of our horses named Hero, and she is blind and she's gone through enormous trauma. But when she came and healed at the Gentle Barn, she needed an escort because she's blind. And the first horse, Cherokee, became her seeing eye horse. And then when Cherokee passed away, she grieved for a minute, but then opened herself up to love again. And then the next horse came. She has had 8 seeing eye horses. And she is extraordinary because no matter how much she loves and how many times she loses, she is always open to loving again. Those are the kinds of stories that I share in the book, Cow Hug Therapy, and how much these animals have to teach us.
Well, I have to say, I'm very impressed with your work because you've got an army that moos and whinnies and barks and purrs and oinks, and you're making this a better planet. And I want to tell you, I salute all of you.
Thank you, Arden. And you are doing the same by having this podcast and allowing animals to have a voice and have a space where we can talk about their personalities and their lessons and stuff. So you are made from the same cloth, and it is really an honor and a privilege to be on your show.
So please, everyone, pick up this book. It's going to make you feel good. It might even motivate you to action. And check out gentlebarn.org. I am so honored to have you on our show, Ellie. And I also got to do a little shout out to my producer. His name is Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We are now the number one pet podcast on the planet, according to FeedSpot.
Woo!
And we have been on the air since 07, when no one knew what the heck a podcast was. And I also hope you check out my YouTube channel, Arden Moore. Please subscribe. It's free. This is going to appear on it. Go to Four Legged Life. We want to bring out the best in pets and their people. And I just had a brilliant guest on my show, and that is Ellie Lax. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh, Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.